Good evening, everyone. So glad to see you all coming back tonight for the final night. That's kind of sad, but God has really blessed us, and we know the blessings will continue. So let's get right into our topic tonight. If you would bow your heads with me, I would like to have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for each one who is seeking to know you, and we will find out tonight in chapter 12 that's necessary. But Lord, I need you to use me in spite of my faults and shortcomings so that the words I speak come straight from you and that when it's said and done, everyone would be able to testify. We saw Jesus. We heard Jesus. We're not sure who that guy was that made the presentation. That's the way I want it to be, Lord, so that we can all be blessed, including me. And thank you for always hearing and answering, because we pray in the powerful name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just do a little bit of review. We looked at chapter 11. Wasn't that incredible? And you were handed out this insert in your bulletin that shows you the parallelism of the prophecies in the book of Daniel, starting in 2, continuing in 7, continuing in 8, and continuing all the way to chapter 11, and how they line up so that you can see it's repeat and enlarge. That God works on that principle where he'll repeat something, but he'll give additional information. When we get to the book of Revelation, which is next, you will see the same principle. But all the bases come from the book of Daniel. And so I hope you didn't lose that sheet of paper. It'll become very valuable to you, for we need to understand this. And again, you'll see shortly. If you remember correctly, the last four verses of the prophecy are the first four verses of Daniel 12. For that's where Daniel, it says, Michael stood up, the great prince who watches over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And so we see that in the very first verse of chapter 12, which is getting to the conclusion of the prophecy, Michael did three things. He stood up, he put an end to the persecutions, closed probation, and began his reign. Number two, he pours out the seven last plagues, which is the time of trouble such as never was. You find that in Revelation 15 and 16. And number three, he delivers his people, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then he said this, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Isn't that neat? Do you want to shine like a star? And remember, the sun is a star. And I challenge you to go outside right now and look directly at the sun with your eyes wide open. Remember, Moses had to cover his face. Jesus is coming to get his people. And those who stand firm in the last days through the time of trouble will shine like stars forever and ever. And then he said this to Daniel. He said, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And we're going to look at that in a second, but not yet. And so we start with the conclusion of the prophecy started in 10, finishing in 12, which is verse 5. But I'm going to take a liberty tonight to do something that I want to do every night. And that is, I wanted to read the whole chapter. Now, don't faint. There's only 13 verses. I want to read every verse to you before we pick it apart, because that'll make you familiar with the words and the concepts that we'll be looking at. For surprisingly, in Daniel 12 are three major time prophecies. Here we go. And you want to follow along, you can. We're looking at Daniel 12. It says, at that time, Michael shall stand up. We already looked at that. So, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the water of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the water of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever that it shall be for a time and a times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily was taken away and the abomination of desolation was set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. Wow, what an incredible chapter, even though it's concise and small. That very first verse we're looking at is 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? By the way, have you noticed that in the book of Daniel, there's a number of places where it says how long? And also, it's always an angel asking Jesus, because they were so horrified and astounded by what Daniel was learning through the visions and prophecies he was given. How long till the fulfillment? When is this going to end? Well, then it says, then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the water of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him that lived forever and ever that it shall be, answer to the question, how long? Time, times, and a half a time, and when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Well, let's figure out, first of all, who is this man clothed in linen? In Daniel 10:4, we read, as I, Daniel, sat by the side of the great river Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Euphrates. And notice it says upon the waters. It didn't say on the bank, but above the waters. In Daniel 8:16, it says, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euli, who called and said to Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Now, folks, I think you understand already that it's commonly believed that Gabriel, after Lucifer fell, is the highest angel in heaven. So who do you think is ordering Gabriel? Gabriel, make this man understand. I think I heard some rumblings out there, but we'll just see if you're correct. See, and he held up his right hand and left hand to heaven, and he swore by heaven. He made a solemn oath. And then we come over to Revelation 10:5, and we'll look at that more closely. But another time, look what it says. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lived forever and ever. Does that sound familiar? Okay, guys. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does. But verse 1 of chapter 10 says this, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillar of fire. Now tell me, who is this person that Daniel in chapter 12 is seen hovering above the waters? it could be none other than Jesus. My friends, this being is Jesus. And we found him appearing to Daniel in chapter 10. And we also found out this morning, even though we were doing 11, that Jesus was in chapter 8. And that Gabriel has been there all along. And if you read carefully Daniel 7, Daniel says that there were two holy beings standing by during my vision, angels. That's how important these prophecies are. It wasn't left to man to interpret them. In fact, 11 was completely dictated by Gabriel. It's Jesus who appeared here. And notice, when we look at Daniel, we want to know what is time, time, and half a time. Now that we know who the person is, we want to know what is time, time, and half a time. First of all, time is 1 year. That's 360 days or years in prophecy, according to Ezekiel and Numbers. 1 day for a year. Times is 2 years, 720 days, years. Prophetically, and half a time is half a year, 180 days, and the total is 1260. Now notice in Daniel 7:25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. This is the little horn, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time, time, and half a time. Now, friends, please remember in chapter 12, he said, how long? How long is this going to go on? In chapter 8, the angel asked Jesus, how long? And sure enough, during the Dark Ages, the persecutions lasted for 1,260 years. But notice Revelation 12:14, but the woman flew into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, time, and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. Now, when you turn to the context in chapter 12, that's a direct reference to when the dragon tried to kill Jesus when he gave birth. He failed. It says that Jesus was caught up to his throne. So then who did the dragon, Satan, turn his ire on? The church, which is a woman. Throughout the Bible, the church is referred to as a woman. A comely woman is the pure church. Revelation 17 introduces the wicked woman, who is the wicked church, but still a church, by the way. And so we see that this phrase is used a number of times. In fact, look at Revelation 12:6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for her that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Revelation 11:3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. How are they clothed? Sackcloth, meaning they're mourning. Persecution's going on. That's how long this is going to last. Jesus is answering the question. We look back on history and we see this clearly. Notice this. First of all, the 1260, 1,260 days, is found twice in Revelation. Time, time, and half a time is found twice in Revelation and once in Daniel. And 42 months, which I didn't even cover. By the way, 42 months is 1,260 years, is found twice in the book of Revelation. I think it's an important period of time. And it's in the answer to the angel that said to Jesus in Daniel 8, how long? And to now Daniel asking the man hovering over the water, how long? Papal Rome defeated its last major enemy. And let me just stop for a second, but we'll cover this. Daniel 7 three times tells us that the little horn will come up amongst the ten, but it'll pluck up three of them, destroy three of them in order to come to power. Three times in Daniel 7. Not once, not twice, three times. So when the final enemy, and I'll give you the name, now it's Ostrogoth, I'll give you the name of the other two, was defeated in the year 538 AD. The Emperor Justinian's decree came into effect. What did the Emperor Justinian say? That the Bishop of Rome has preeminence over all the other churches. But the Bishop of Rome could not exert that till three powers were eradicated. They were all three Arian powers. They did not believe Jesus was God, and they were finally eradicated in 538 AD, and the Pope came to full power. throughout the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church was the most powerful political force in the whole world. Many millions persecuted and put to death, oppressing the saints of the Most High, as Daniel put it. However, the power of the Papal Church came to an end when the armed forces of Napoleon under General Berthier marched into Rome and took the Pope captive. This happened in the year 1798, the year after the Papal See came to power in 538 AD. So we take 538 AD, we add 1260, and what date do we come to? 1798. This is incredible, folks. The Ostrogoths were eradicated in 538. Persecution took place already all through the 1260 years, the Dark Ages, millions of Christians. And it all came to an end in 1798. By the way, I want you to know I come from the Catholic Church, so I don't enjoy standing here accusing. But when I study my Bible, I find what I find, the truth. I have to share it. I do it in love, because the Catholic Church has many good Christians in it. Like me, we just don't understand prophecy. We're not taught that. But we here teach prophecy, and you'll see why in a second. Verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. And then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? That's the second time. I mean, you got to understand this. By repetition, God is showing us that they were horrified. The angel even interrupted Daniel's vision in chapter 8 and turned to Jesus. The wonderful numberer, or the numberer of secrets, was his title, and said, how long are you going to let this go on? They were horrified. And here's what the answer came from the man hovering over the water, our Savior. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Ah, okay. Well, let's ask this question. Notice, this is the second time Daniel was told to close up or seal the book till the time of the end. The first time was in verse 4, which we didn't cover. I said we'd get back to it. Take a look at it. Verse 4 says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Well, what does it mean? As we near the close of world histories, the prophecies recorded by Daniel demand our special attention as they relate to the very time in which we are living. That's why we're doing this. And by the way, I should say, and also, you can't understand Revelation unless you understand Daniel. There it is. And so he said, Daniel, shut up the word, seal till the time of the end. Why? Because as we near the close, his prophecies are absolutely essential to study and understand, along with the book of Revelation. And don't forget this, running to and fro means searching the meaning, and for those that do, knowledge shall increase. That's exactly what the meaning is. Running to and fro. Those who are seeking truth, those on a Saturday evening would come here even though they rather sit at home seeking for truth. They're the ones that get the knowledge. By the way, I think that's wonderful. That if we seek, we find, right? If we knock, the door's open. If we ask, we receive. So folks, we do this. We do it because in the last days, we're told the importance of these prophetic books, and that running to and fro means, in the Hebrew, to search it out, to seek, to look, to try to understand. And if you do, knowledge shall increase. Well, look at this. When is this time of the end to begin? Well, the time of the end is 1798. When Berthier, the general of Napoleon, marched into Rome, took the Pope captive, confiscated all his property, took the Pope back to France, put him in exile, died in a prison, and sure, the Catholic Church immediately appointed another Pope, but they no longer had the property they have. And you wonder, wait, what's going on now? In 1929, Mussolini gave it all back to the Catholic Church. And so, folks, the time of the end is marked by 1798. And boy, look what happened. 1798 is the time of the end, folks. Now, then he says, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. The seekers of truth shall understand. And many of them went through torture and were burned at the stake, eaten by lions, drowned in lakes, and they stayed firm for Jesus. Now those are the ones that are going to shine like the stars forever and ever. Notice the wise will understand, but the wicked will not understand. And then we move on to verse 11. And from the time that the daily, and please, that word sacrifice is not in the Hebrew. Every place in Daniel, it simply stands alone. Daily, tamid is the Hebrew word, and it represents Christ. High priestly ministry in heaven. And notice it says, from the time that the daily was taken away. It means that the church, the major church of that time, the papal church, turned the eyes of the people away from heaven, where Jesus is the high priest, and to the earth, where you go to the priest for the confession of sin, for counsel, wisdom. Don't pray to God or pray to Mary and the saints. Folks, it brings pain to my heart. I remember doing all that. So they took away the daily. They cast Jesus essentially to the ground and stamped on him. And the abomination of desolation is set up, and there shall be 1,290 days. Okay, we did the time and half a time, or the 72 months, or what is 1,260 years. We saw that that was 538 A.D. when the Pope came to full power under the Emperor's decree, because the last of the three horns were eradicated. And by the way, I'm going to tell you about that in a second here. And it reigned supreme and tore the Christians up until 1798. But now we got 1,290 days. That's 30 years longer than the 1260. So let's try to figure this out. Three times in Daniel 7, 8, 20, and 24, we are told that the little horn plucked up three of the original horns before it could come to power. These three horns were the Vandals, the Visigoths, and the Ostrogoths. Eradicated in 534, 508, and 538 AD respectively. And by the way, just in case, I need to say this. Remember, the feet of clay and iron had 10 toes. In Daniel 7, the fourth kingdom had 10 horns on its head, and the little horn came up among the 10 horns, and we found out that that's Europe. The fourth kingdom broke to pieces, and Europe formed, and no fifth kingdom came into existence, but a little horn grew up. And in order to exert its power and its authority, three of the original 10 horns had to be eradicated. And they are the Vandals, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths. If you take the year 1798, which is the time of the end, and you work backwards, you arrive at 508 A.D. Wait a minute, where did we see 508 A.D.? Ah, yes. When the Visigoths were eradicated. It's either the Vandals, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths. When the Ostrogoths were eradicated, then the Pope took supreme power. But in the middle was the Visigoths. The Bishop of Rome used Clovis, the king of the Franks, a heathen king, to defeat the Visigoths. Now, take a look at the implications here. The implications are Clovis was then baptized. He marched his army through the river and had the Bishop of Rome pronounce them Christian. Who else did that? Who else did that? Constantine did that. That's how he became a Christian. Marched his army through the river and he was pronounced a Christian. This was significant for two reasons. One, this is the first time we're blending of the church and state, politics and religion. Two, the Bishop of Rome used the state, a secular army, to accomplish the ends of the church. This is the abomination of desolation. When the church begins to use force, secular force, or civil authorities to enforce its dogma, you have the abomination of desolation. And so we see that in 508 A.D., we see where this abomination of desolation really began. And in 538 A.D. is when they eradicated the daily. Well, verse 12, blessed are those who wait and come to the 1,335 days. Can you believe in 13 verses there's these three major time prophecies? Now, how are we going to figure this out? First of all, notice it says, blessed is the one who waits and comes. This word wait is important because the question throughout the book of Daniel prophecy and even in the book of Revelation, how long? And so blessed are those that wait upon the Lord, and they come to this time period. Now remember Daniel's original question was, here it is, Daniel 12:8. Although I heard, I did not understand. And then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? That was his question. And now it says, blessed are they that come to the 1335. So what is the 1335? If you use 508 AD as the starting point of the 1,335, we arrive at what year? 1843. And 1843 was the year that William Miller began to preach the second coming message based on Daniel 8:14. Under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Well, oh, come back. All right, so let's look at this then. Remember that the angel asked Jesus how long in Daniel 8:13, and the 1335 and the 2300 days essentially end at the same time. This was when Daniel and Revelation came to the attention of the world and the Seventh-day Adventist Church came into existence. You know, in 1798, the persecutions ceased. And just 43 years later, all of a sudden, William Miller, and by the way, you in this church have already heard the history. They were preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ in South America, in Spain, in Europe, Scandinavia, before William Miller began to preach. William Miller and all of them were based on the prophecies of Daniel. All of a sudden, knowledge is increasing, folks. And this 1335, blessed are those that wait for this date. Why? Because here where God begins to correct everything. And now there's a people that preach this message. And let people know that in spite of all the dastardly things that are happening around the world, God is still in control. And we were told that the majority will never be right. And we must stand our ground firm on what the Bible says, no matter how much they ridicule us. And now in our great higher education edifices, they mock the Bible. They mock God. Remember, the king of the South is secularism, atheism, evolution, materialism, all the things we have here in this country and almost stand for. And it isn't easy to be a biblically based Christian. And so blessed is the one that waits for the 1335. Because when it comes, we will have a specific work to do and we won't have time to worry about how we're being treated. Our job is to preach these truths. And that's why blessed is he. Well, here's the last verse. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Folks, here Daniel realizes he's going to die before the second coming of Jesus. But he was assured of an inheritance at the end of the days. And when is our end of the day coming, folks? We don't know, but I'll tell you, if you want your inheritance, you better be right with Jesus Christ. And the Bible better be your standard. And we here at this church want you to know the Bible. We're starting a 20-course Bible study on prophecy. It'll review some of the things we learn. It will go into Revelation. And at the end of those 20 weeks, there'll be a baptism. We want to be there to thank Jesus for giving us an inheritance at such great cost to him. So, my friends, I invite you to ponder these thoughts and let me close with a word of prayer. Father, if they only knew how much I learned to prepare for this. You put things in my head I never thought of and I haven't read yet. Not that they don't exist, but I haven't read it. And it's because you will speak and reveal to whoever seeks, including me. And so I want you to bless this group, that firm, solid decisions for Jesus Christ will be made, and delay would cease because you are coming soon. And please, for those that need to come to our Bible study, help them, Lord, to make that decision and not to tarry or to hesitate, so that we can even know you better than we do now and love you more than we do now. So bless each one. Take them home safely, Lord, and bring them back next week as we worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.